The topic for this today's sermon is the unfinished test. That through this thinking, the test is not finished. That means why? We still have to work on it. And first, let me talk about a little bit about myself. I was born, me and my wife from Vietnam. And in 1970, we came to U.S. and study and work. In 1980, and God allowed me to start my own computer company. We work with the computer software and work with the big company, IBM, AT&T, Mobile. All those are my good clients. And so in 1990, 10 years after I started my company have grown from one person to over 100 employees. So you can see I was kind of successful, and I was very satisfied because I make a lot of money. I live in a nice home with a swimming pool in the back. I'm driving a Mercedes Benz, travel to Europe, travel to Hawaii all the time. I was enjoying my life. And I was a deacon at the church, working very hard, and my wife is a Sunday school teacher. So we felt like this is the way. I mean, being a Christian, God bless our family. We have three children. We have a nice environment. We enjoy our life. But God did not see it that way. God knew that that was not what He created me for. So when I was 42, and I was in a church service like this one, and we sang a song called Give Your Best to the Master. And I sang that song many, many times before. Never touched my heart. But that Sunday, every word in that song hit my heart. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Give Him the first place in your heart and give Him the best that you have. Did I give money to the church? Yes, I did. Did I serve the church? I was a deacon for many years. But at that morning, the Holy Spirit clearly telling me, I did, but I did not do the best. I still gave the best to my family. I still gave the best to my wife, to myself, or to my business. I did not put God first. So I repent that day. I told God, what you want me to do? It's so clear. God just telling me the same message I'm trying to tell you. The unfinished task. I give you the Great Commission. What have you done so far? What has the church done so far? So on that day, I start doing the mission work. And God was very nice and merciful on us. And He only allowed me slowly leaving my business. The first year, I spent 30% of my time in mission and 70% of my time still in business. And then after 3 years, I spent half and half. After 8 years, and God called us to go into the mission field. It was not an easy decision at all. Even my family did not agree. Why? Your three children are so young. 9 years old, 14 years old, 16 years old. They were born in Texas. They did not speak Chinese. They don't like Chinese food. Why do you want to bring them to China? Somebody said, you know how to make money. Why don't you stay here in Dallas and make a lot of money and give it to the church and give it to the mission field? You are deacon of the church. You teach in the school. We need you here. So many people still don't know Jesus. So many non-Christians around our community. Why don't you just stay here in Dallas and serve with us? All those are very legitimate reasons. Good reason. Right? Yes, I agree to that. But at the same time, my wife and I pray for that. We belong to God. We serve God. We want to know what God wants us to do, not what people want us to do, what my family want me to do. So after 3 months prayer, and we have some confirmation, so in 1998, we took three kids. But they are willing to go. Move all the way to a small village in China. We spent 2 years over there and start a full-time ministry life. And it's not easy after 20-some years. And I don't have what I used to have before. I don't even have a single house now. I just stay in a small apartment, a rental apartment. And we don't drive nice, fancy car. We don't do a lot of things that we used to do. But one thing I can witness to you is what I have today is so much better than what I used to have in the past. It's hard for me to explain until someday if you try it yourself. God give you the sense of fulfillment, the peaceful feeling. If I have a choice, somebody asked me, let the clock turn back 20-some years ago, would I still choose what I have chosen? I would tell you yes. I even tell you I would rather be coming out to serve the Lord sooner than I was 42. But of course, I feel like God used me to spend 10 years in business for a reason. You know what's the reason? What is the principle, basic principle of doing business? We want to use the shortest time to make what? A lot of money, right? But why can't a church have the same mentality? Using the shortest time that we have, the smallest resources that we can collect, and try to get more people to know Jesus. So all this year, my ministry or my mission work is a little bit different from a traditional one. I serve in Panama, I serve in Siberia, in Russia, many places, in Poland, in China, and slowly God brought me into Indonesia. I hope someday that you can go and travel to some of this mission field with me. Now, when I talk about the unfinished task, you know what I'm talking about, the Great Commission. If you look at the report card of the Great Commission today, roughly you have 30% of the population of the world are Christian. At the same time, you have about 30% of the population of the world are non-Christian. About 40% of the people we call the unreached people group. I hope you have heard that term before. It's a very mission term. It's the people that they don't have a friend as a Christian. They don't, you know, have a chance to read the Bible or even see the Bible. Nobody give them track, and they don't have a church in their neighborhood. It's called the unreached people group, which is so much different, you know, from the non-Christian. What is a non-Christian? Like the people in Vancouver, many non-Christian, but they are not unreached people group. Because they have many friends are Christian. They have a churches in their community. They can drive out here and see your church right here. They can, you know, sometimes turn on TV, they can see the gospel program. Sometimes people give them a track or invite them to go to church, you know. And they just choose. It's their choice. They don't want to accept the Lord. But at the same time, many people around the world, they never have a chance. Once I heard a story in England. It's a Sunday school class. The small children came in, and the teacher told them, "You be good today. I have some candy for you." So after 15 minutes, and she started passing candy to the children on her left side. And the right-hand side, very quiet. Maybe they thought if they talk a little bit, now they're not talking anymore. After another 15 minutes, the teacher passed the candy again. She passed to the left side again. After another 15 minutes, she passed the third time, the left side again. The children on the left-hand side, they don't even want the candy anymore. When a tray passed by, they push it away. I have enough. And you can see the paper wrapper all over the floor. They don't care. It's too much for them already. But at the same time, on the right-hand side, the children raise their hands and say, "Teacher, we are good. We've been good. How come we don't have the candy?" The teacher said, "That's the lesson I want to teach you. Many people on this earth, they have heard about Jesus. They know about God. They even read the Bible. Maybe they even went to church. Maybe they have a lot of friends that are Christian. But yet, it's their choice. They don't want to become a Christian. But yet, at the same time, many people around the world, it's not by choice they don't want to be a Christian. Brother and sister, there's nobody share with them who Jesus is. I was in Siberia one time, you know, doing mission work, and I saw a Chinese sitting on a bench. I approached him, I say, "Are you a Chinese?" He said, "Oh yeah, you know." And it's nice to see another Chinese in Siberia. So we start talking. Within 15 minutes, I felt like the moment was right. So I asked him, I said, "Do you want to be a Christian?" You know what he said? He asked me a question back. He said, "Such a good news. Why shouldn't I become a Christian? I want it. It's such a good news." And 2 days later, he even took two of his friends, come to our hotel, and they become Christian. And another 2 days, and he took another two people come and also become a Christian. They embrace this new religion they found. They embrace the Jesus we talk about. They love what they heard. But why they were not Christian before? Because nobody ever told them about Christian. So we know the unreached people group, and also we call non-Christian, is a different. I feel like we should pay more attention to the unreached people group. According to the statistic, only 3% of the missionary are sent into serving the unreached people group. That means that 97% of the missionary are sent to non-Christian area, like Canada, like America, like, you know, some other country. They already have a lot of churches. Of course, yes, many people in those areas still non-Christian, but many of them, they chose not to be or don't want to be a Christian. But at the same time, so many places, if you share with them about Jesus, they will take it. But the reason they not become a Christian because they never had a chance. And only 1% of the mission resources were used, you know, in the unreached people group. 99% of our mission resources are being used in the non-Christian area. So I hope from now on you stick this in your head. 30% are non-Christian, but yet 40% an unreached people group. Now today's Bible verse is so short. Let's read it one more time, okay? And this gospel of the kingdom, let's all read together. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Today, I want you to just think about three areas. One, we need to understand the test. We need to understand what is the Great Commission, what kind of command that God has given to us. And secondly, we talk about how are we going to face this challenge, or how are we going to face this demand from God. And number three, can we try to think about how can we complete the Great Commission? Now, when we talk about the Great Commission, people always talk about these two Bible verses, one in Matthew 28 and one in, you know, the Acts 1:8, right? There's nothing wrong with that, you know, because those are the two key, you know, mission, you know, verses. You know, therefore, make disciples of all nations, go and baptize them. And also you go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria until the end of the earth. Nothing wrong with those two verses. But sometimes people can have a misunderstanding when they talk about these two verses only. You know why? Because the whole Bible, we talk about over 30,000 Bible verses. Only two verses talking about the Great Commission, that means the Great Commission is only a small part in the Bible. Many people start thinking about that. That's why so many churches don't talk about mission. Many Christians never thought about going out to short-term mission or doing some mission work. It's not in their mind because it's a small portion of their faith. But this is wrong. If you look through the whole Bible, they said in Old Testament, it's more than 120 places that mention about mission, about all nations, about God's desire. And in New Testament, it's only also have about 80-some places where verses talk about mission. So together, you have 200-some verses talking about this Great Commission. Actually, you know, you go through from the first book of the Bible until the last book of the Bible, always talking about God's desire is to have all the people know His name. Genesis 12, 1. God told Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's place, and go to the place I show you, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. And Psalm 67, 2, it said that your way can be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And then Timothy, you know, 1 Timothy, you know, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and it said, use your blood to purchase men for God from every tribe, every language, every people, and all nation. So we know that the God that we believe, He's a God of mission. He wants all people, all nation, all men, all people, all language, all tribe, all nation to know Him. The Bible is a Bible of mission. Now also in Acts 1:8, give us a roadmap what this Great Commission should be. It said from Jerusalem, that means from Vancouver, maybe, huh? And the Judea, maybe the whole Canada, maybe Samaria, the whole, you know, North America, and the end of the earth, maybe you go everywhere around the world. And we think about this progressive, you know, a way of doing things. From here, slowly, slowly, slowly until the furthest place. But if you read this Bible verse closely, that's not what he's talking about. It's talking about, and you'll be with witnesses in Jerusalem, and then A-N-D again, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What do I mean? At the same time, you're doing community work here, you're doing the community work or evangelical work in Canada, but at the same time, you need to do the mission work in far, far away, somewhere in the world. Now, mission and church should not be separate. A lot of time we put mission as part of the church program. To me, that's not correct, because you know this. Mr. Brunner said a long time ago, he's a Swiss theologian, he said the church exists by mission as fire exists by burning. That means you see someplace burning, that's fire. You see a fire, that means burning. There should be the same relationship between church and mission. Without mission, that's not really a church. So keep in mind, whatever we do in the church, you clean the floor, you do the AV in the back, you need the singing, or maybe you're teaching Sunday school, maybe you go visitation. Everything we do in the church have to be related to ministry, either evangelical work or either mission work, either close community or either far, far, far away other country. That's the only reason that we have the church. So try to tie everything into this unfinished test. Years ago, God gave a test to a man named Noah to build an ark. It's not easy. You know, according to the Bible, it did not clearly say how long did he take to finish building the ark. Somebody said 100 years. Somebody said 120 years. Maybe 80 years. But no matter what you say, it's still a long, long time. It was not an easy test at all. But Noah completed the test. And also think about Queen Esther. Also, she was given a test, a very difficult test. It's not just difficult, it's a dangerous test to see the king. Now, if the king disliked her at the moment, she could be killed. But yet, she chose to follow the test, and she went the king. So she saved the whole, group of Jewish people. Now, many people follow God's test for their life. So today, we have a big test in front of the church and also in front of each one of you. How do we face it? You know, we go to all nations and make disciples of all nations. Now, many people might have different responses. Some people will say, what mission? Especially if you're a newcomer, you might not know the Great Commission. But unfortunately, many brothers and sisters been in church for a long time, they might know about the Great Commission, but in their mind, it's almost as they don't know about the Great Commission. This Great Commission is not only that we should know, but it should tie to your life. And some people might say, oh, this is a mission impossible. Why bother? There's no way we can finish it. So let's don't talk about it. And some people say, hey, let's talk about it later, okay? This year we're not going to do it because we have to build a church. This year we're not going to do it because we have we don't have a pastor. We're waiting for a new pastor. Or this year because we're so busy and this, we are so busy on that. Let's do it later. We'll do it later. We always postpone it, procrastinate this, this mission. And I hope that your church will choose the last step. It's that with God's help, we can complete the test. If you ask me, is it possible to finish this test? I would say yes. It's very possible. But God can do it himself, but yet at the same time, God wants us to do something, and then he can help us to complete this test. A couple areas we should pay attention. The church is not paying attention to mission anymore. Now, this is a number of statistics from America. In 100 years, the financial support from American church overseas mission fund dropped from 10% to about 3%. Now, that was the number at 2003. Maybe today even lower. People pay more attention to the church. So many churches, according to statistics, spend about 96% of their fund, the general fund, into the church himself. To pay the pastor, to buy new furniture, to put up a new nice equipment. It's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, let us don't forget the purpose, the reason of the church. Now, this is a real church in Houston. I mean, the church is almost like an auditorium. It's 16,000 seats and always packed every Sunday. They not only have one service, they have more than one services. I listened to the pastor all the time because it was early in the morning, 9 o'clock on TV. So when I got up, I was, you know, eating breakfast, I like to turn on the TV and listen to his preaching. Not a single time he talked about mission. He always talked about having a good life, talking about enjoying God's presence. You know, God help me this and God help me that. Because he never encouraged the Christian to start mission work. Now, Christians need to be more involved in the mission. That's how we can get the test complete. I don't know if you heard about this challenge before. If one Christian can bring one person to Christ in 1 year, is that possible? Is that possible? One person just lead one friend to come to church or become a Christian in 1 year. It should not be that hard if you start doing it. But if you start doing that, you know why? If you look at the number, many young people here, I don't have to tell you the detail. 30% Christian this year, next year with 60%, the year after, the whole world will become Christian. Only half of the people do that, okay? Takes 4 years, the whole world will become Christian. Only 10% of the people following this challenge, it still takes 14 years. Unfortunately, many people don't do that as an individual Christian. I was in a meeting one time, you know, and at the end of the meeting, everyone was giving a candle. No fire, just a candle. And then they turned up the light. So the whole, you know, meeting place was dark. And, you know, the MC, you know, on the stage, starts sending out the fire. So he walked down to the stage and gave the fire to Grace, you know, and then Grace got up and gave it to Bill. And then slowly, one by one, and I was in the back. There's 100-some people. I said, wow, it's going to take a long time before everybody can lit up their candle. But something changed. You know, when Grace got up and gave it to my wife, Sarah Ann, and started turning around, it started walking around. When everybody was doing their job, within 1 minute, the whole area will be like this. Now, this is exactly what I'm talking about. We cannot complete this Great Commission if we can encourage, we can, you know, challenge, you can teach our people to start doing evangelical work. This is such a good story. Why don't you share this story with your friend, the people at your office, the people in your neighborhood? And also, we have to pray. I don't know how often you pray for mission. If the church can start praying, you know, for the mission field, and slowly you can see we can accomplish this task. Now, to have this mission heart, one thing is very important, is for you to go out to take a look at the mission field. Now, this year, we will have 2 mission trips to go to Indonesia. One in May, maybe too close to make that decision, and one in October. I've been talking about your Pastor Young, and he's thinking about going to lead a team from this church to go to Indonesia in October. There's a lot of door God has been opening in this country. They have more Muslim than any other country. Now, people always talk about China when we think about mission. People always talk about India when they think about mission. But today, when people talk about mission, you should think about Muslim. They are about 1/4 of the population on earth now. Indonesia is a big country. They have many languages, many people, many islands. It's not easy. But ever since I was there, God opened the door, let me see so many unreached people group in Indonesia. And also, after 14 years we've been there, we do a lot of work. We do children homework, take care of a lot of children, and we also go to different villages, you know, the poverty area. We give them food, and also we have school to train them, and also we have mission conference to encourage them to get into the Great Commission. Also, we have a project called the Bible for All. We bring Bible to all places so people can have a chance to read the Word of God. 2017, we bought a piece of land in Borneo Island, you know, we call Kalimantan, you know. It's a big land, 6 hectares. And last year, we started building, you know, a farm there. And this year, we're thinking about building an activity center. Now, all this work sometimes, I don't even know where the money comes from, where the people come from. But I truly believe, it's God's work, God will take care of that himself. Now, like I said at the beginning, this is not an accident that you're sitting here. That's not an accident that I'm standing here. God has a reason for you, church. God has a reason for your church to hear the unfinished test, or give you the challenge that God's kingdom can come only if the gospel can be preached all over the world. When I was younger and less mature in my spiritual life, I was thinking about this as a good, you know, a word for me. You know why? Because all this shit, the gospel is not preached over the world yet. There may still a long time God is coming. I don't have to worry about that. I can enjoy my life. I don't think about Great Commission. I don't have to serve because it's a long time before Jesus comes back again. But if you study the Bible more, it said, but about that day or the hour, no one knows. Even in the book of, it said, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. What I mean, God can come anytime. He could come today or tomorrow, next week. Who don't know? Don't forget. Don't think about God in your personal human perspective. Think about God in God's way. If God can create this world in 6 days, don't you think God can send his angel to evangelize the whole world in 6 days? It's possible. So I'm challenging you, think about what you can do. According to some number that I read, if you're making over 30,000 Canadian money a year, you know what you are? You are already in the 1%, top 1% of the world as far as finance is concerned. You are working, I'm pretty sure you're making over 30,000 Canadian money a year. Why got you so much money? Why got you put in the top 1%? Why? Because of these Bible verses. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine to us. We will love that blessing, but we forget the second verse. So then, you know why God want to bless us? Why God want to bless your church? Why God want to bless the people in Vancouver? So that your way can be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. One time, my wife and I traveled. We normally travel a few places before we go home. We travel half of the time of our life in the air and different places. We come back, we took in a taxi, and when we get almost to our house, we're thinking about getting money to pay. And on my pocket, I found a lot of, you know, Hong Kong money. Oop, somebody want me to stop. Okay, and then I found a lot of money in Indonesian money. I also found a lot of Chinese money. I did not have any US dollar. I could not pay. And of course, later on, we saw the problem. But at that moment, it seemed like God telling me, what kind of money that you have when you get up to, you know, heaven? What kind of money that you have when you get up to heaven? You know, let me see, go back real fast. Still not working, you know? But it's okay. This is a challenge, is when you go to heaven, God will not ask you how many houses you have in Vancouver or how much money you make here. God asks you, what have you done for me? Think about that, the unfinished task. We still have a task in front of us. We can accomplish. God can help you. God can help the church to accomplish the unfinished task. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time that we can talk about your kingdom. We can talk about your great commission. We ask you to be with us. Help us to understand what you want us to do, what you want this church to do. Let us see you someday. We can be called good and faithful servant because we follow you and work toward the unfinished task. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.